We're going to quickly look at the entire chapter. We're going to find out a couple of things about Solomon after he became king, but before something that we know he got. Somebody tell me the most important thing that we know of. We haven't talked about it too much, but based upon the camp theme, what is the one thing that Solomon asked for?
Wisdom.
What did he ask for?
Wisdom.
Okay. In 1 Kings chapter number 2, he doesn't have it yet. So we're going to look at what he was doing before then. And we find out, let's just look at it. In 1 Kings chapter number 2, and look at verse number 9. He says, "Now therefore, hold him not guiltless, but thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him, but his forehead bring thou down to the grave with blood." And we'll explain that in a minute. So David slept with his fathers, and was buried in the city of David. Who was Solomon's dad? What just happened in verse number 10? He died. "And the days of David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 30 and 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly." Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts in these moments. God, I pray that you give us understanding of the passage and help us to understand by application what Solomon did before he asked of you his most important prayer of his life as far as his kingdom. I thank you that he knew you, but Lord, he needed wisdom. And I thank you that he had the wisdom to ask you for that. So Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts and help us to see his life before then. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's look at this entire chapter first of all. So King David, Solomon's dad, he died. When a king dies, who usually becomes king? His son. Well, there's some specifics about that that we'll talk about as well. So King David's son, his baby boy, Solomon becomes king. That's a little bit different. So we'll talk about that. But let's look at a couple of things. What Solomon did before he asked God for wisdom. We know that Solomon was used of God because he had wisdom. God used Solomon in such a great way because of the wisdom that he had, and God used Solomon to do great things. The most important thing, the biggest thing that we know Solomon did, other than having wisdom, was he built the temple. He built the first temple that there was, so God used him for that. But why did God use Solomon to build that temple? And I think it's more than just the fact that he was a smart guy. There's plenty of smart guys. He was the wisest man to ever live other than Christ. But why did God use him, and why did God offer Solomon the opportunity for that? We'll look at those things. Look in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 1. It says, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel." Before Solomon ever got wisdom, God had already gotten his attention. God was allowing something to come into his life here with David, but God already had Solomon's attention, which is why God offered wisdom to Solomon. Why God offered, ask whatever you want and you can have it. Before he was exalted to a place of fame and great wealth, even though some have erected him, but before he was exalted to that place, God already was humbling Solomon. He was making him humble, bringing him low, and Solomon, for some reason, was already there. Solomon was able to be used of God, and God had Solomon a place where he was blessable. That's important. God didn't just choose Solomon because he needed somebody, but God worked in Solomon's life, and Solomon made his heart prepared. Solomon had his heart in a place where he could be blessed, where he could be used. Well, it brings up the question, what made him usable? There's a lot of things. We'll look at this chapter. Number one, we find that David, his dad, right before David dies, David goes to Solomon, and David says, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. I need you to do this. More importantly, he says, I need you to be this. He says, I want you to have these characteristics about your life, and I want you to do these things for me. Some of them are interesting tasks. But number one, the reason why Solomon had a prepared heart, Solomon was usable, because Solomon had a teachable spirit. That's already in your notes, but Solomon had a teachable spirit. In order for Solomon to take the throne as king of Israel, the former king must leave his throne. King David, Solomon's father, was old and getting ready to die. And in 1 Kings chapter number 1, verse 39, it says that, "And Zadok the priest took an horn of oil of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. They blew the trumpet, and all the people said, 'God save King Solomon.' And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so the earth rent with the sound of them." In 1 Kings 1, 39 through 40, we find that the priest takes the oil and pours it, anoints it on Solomon's head. And from that day forward, he is king. God had already decided it, and David had already decided that Solomon was going to become king. But that day, they anointed him as king of Israel. And the nation rejoiced over it. Between the time of him being anointed as king and before the time he got wisdom, he already had a teachable spirit. Before God blessed him with that wisdom, he was already able to be taught by his dad. That's an important thing. Solomon was teachable enough to listen to his father's advice. His dad started telling him what manhood is all about. And as I remember how I was when a teenager, when my dad tried to sit down and talk with me about those things, I think, "I don't want to hear it. Dad, that's not cool." We don't find Solomon saying that. We don't find Solomon saying anything. He listens. He says, "Dad, whatever you want to tell me, I'm listening." Solomon had the attitude, to God he had that attitude, but David, "Dad, I need what you need to tell me." He was able to be taught by his father. He needed his father's advice. In verses 2 and 3 of chapter 2, we find that David says, "And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes." First things first, walk with the Lord. Follow the Lord. Solomon was teachable enough to heed his father's spiritual counsel. He could have argued, "Dad, what are you talking about?" And that, we talked about this in the morning hour. David, the reason that Solomon was born was because of an adulterous relationship. Solomon could have said, like a lot of us as teenagers, as we did and as many teenagers do, "Dad, what are you talking about giving me spiritual advice? You're a hypocrite." Now, David was a man after God's own heart, but just like all of us, he was not perfect. He could have thrown that in his dad's face and said, "Dad, I'm going to be the king that I want to be. I don't have to listen to you." He could have done that, but he didn't. He listened to his father's advice, his spiritual counsel. Even though David was not perfect, he still obeyed his dad because he was his dad. Solomon was teachable enough to obey his father's commands. We find some interesting things in verse 5 through 9. In verse 5, he says, "Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, and to Abner, the son of Ner, and to Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoar head, his gray, his white head, go down to the grave in peace." And he lists other people. He says, David says to Solomon, "Solomon, these people did wrong. Punish them." He says, "I didn't do it. I left it undone. Some, I gave my word that I wouldn't. But Solomon, I have some things that are unfinished I need you to take care of." He gave him an interesting grocery list of things to do. Just a few things. But Solomon listened. He listened to his dad. He says, "You are king now. You're in charge of the government now. Make sure Joab pays for the crimes of murdering my men." He says, "Be king." He says, "I want you to rule over Barzillai." He says, "I want you to take care of the sins of Shimei." And we'll mention those later. But David gave him clear commands, and Solomon was willing to do what his father said. It was that simple. Which he wrote later in Proverbs 1:8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." He honored his parents. Some people just cannot follow directions. Some people cannot be told what to do. Anytime someone tells them a way to do this, they buck back and they don't want to hear it. Solomon was not that way. Jude 1 talks about that. He speaks of those that are filthy dreamers that defile the flesh and they despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. They don't want anyone telling them how to do things. That ought not be the way of a Christian. Proverbs 29:1, under inspiration of God, Solomon said, "He that often being reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed." When someone asks you how to do, and that without remedy, when someone asks us to do something, we harden our neck and we clench our teeth and we don't want to hear it. He says, that person will be destroyed. You've got to be teachable. Solomon had a teachable spirit. You're going to hear things all week long that maybe go contrary to what you think or what you believe or what you practice. Be teachable. If it's from God's Word, it's right. We may differ in our opinion, on our feelings. If God said it, it's right. Be teachable. You'll get nothing from this week if you're not teachable. If you don't allow God to deal with you, be teachable. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before he was honored, he humbled himself. Look at verse number 24 of 1 Kings 2. Solomon recognized something. He says, "Now therefore, as the Lord..." Solomon sang this. "Now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me in house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day." Not only did Solomon have a teachable spirit, but we find in verse 24, who did he say made him king? Did he say, "I was really smart, I was really talented, I was my daddy's favorite child, I was the most specialist, I was his favorite kid"? He didn't say that. He didn't say, "I was the best, therefore I'm king." He didn't say that. He didn't say, "My dad made me king." Although his dad did choose him to be king. Verse 24, "Now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me, and set me on the throne of David my father." Solomon had a teachable spirit, but Solomon recognized God's control over his life. He recognized that God did this. He put secondary causes away and said, "No, it wasn't me, it wasn't my talent, it wasn't my dad, it wasn't any of those things. It wasn't even the popularity that I have with all the people. It was God." Solomon says, "Everything that's happening in my life right now is because God has done it. Because God put me here. God allowed this into my life. God put me in this situation. God did it." We need to recognize the Lord in our life. "Well, I don't want to be here." God has you here. "I don't want to be in the family that I have." Well, God put you in that family. "I don't want to have to go to church that my parents make me go to." God put you there. When you fight against that, you're fighting against God. Solomon recognized God's authority in his life. What's interesting, we won't read it for time. Who did you say a second ago, when a king dies, who becomes the next king? His son. His eldest son. Solomon was not the oldest. He was the youngest. Well, maybe God messed up? No, he didn't mess up. The one that was supposed to become king was Adonijah. What was his name? Adonijah. Go back and read this later in chapters 1. Adonijah decided, David was getting old, David was getting ready to die, and Adonijah said, "It's my turn. I'm going to become king." So Adonijah, he gets a priest, and he gets Joab, and he gets these other people, and says, "I'm going to take the throne. I'm going to get me a crown. I'm going to go out in front of the people, and I'm going to make myself king." Not just that. Not only did Adonijah steal from David the throne and steal from Solomon the throne that was about to be his, Adonijah said, "You know what, I'm going to have a party with all my family. I'm going to invite all my brothers, but I'm not going to invite David, I'm not going to invite Solomon, I'm not going to invite Bathsheba, mom, dad, and son." Well, that's a sign of dishonor. Bathsheba and Solomon said later, "You know what's going to happen? Adonijah, he's going to come kill us." I think Adonijah had a plan. He said, "Well, if Solomon wants the throne, I'm going to take care of him so he can't take the throne." Solomon was about to be a dead man. You know what you read Solomon doing in chapter 1? Nothing. He didn't fight it. We don't find Solomon going, "Dad, you promised me." No, he just let the Lord take care of it. He didn't go to his brother with a sword and try to chop his head off. He just let God take care of it. Solomon allowed God to control the situation. He allowed God to be in control of his life. He allowed God's will to be done. Psalm chapter number 37. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Psalm 37. Turn there very quickly, please. Who wrote most of the Psalms? King David did. I wonder if Solomon read these things. Psalm 37. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withers of the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Solomon simply trusted God. He didn't fret because of the evil doings of his brother. He trusted the Lord. Solomon recognized God's control of his life. If you want to be used of God, be teachable. If you want God to use you, if you want God to bless you and answer your prayers and give you the things you need, allow Him to be in control. Look back in 1 Kings chapter number 22. I'm sorry, 1 Kings 2. We find after verse 24, he recognized that God was in control, that God made him king. But then he says, he speaks to Abiathar, and he says, "Unto Abiathar the priest said the king, Get thee to Anathoth, unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death. But I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord before David my father, and because thou hast been afflicted, and all wherein my father was afflicted. So Solomon thrust out Abiathar for being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord, which he spake concerning the house of Eli and Shiloh. Abiathar was a priest. He was a man of God, but he went the wrong way. He deserved to die. Solomon said it. He said, you deserve to die for your treason. At this time, he didn't kill him. He kicked him out. Remember the grocery list? Shouldn't call it that. At the end of David's life, David said, this person did me wrong. They deserve to die. As the king, as the ruler, you have the authority to do that. This person needs to die. This person needs to be taken care of. And he says, this person don't kill. David gave him things to do, and they weren't the easiest things to do. He says, as the upcoming king, you're supposed to kill those people. I wouldn't want to have to do that. Especially people that were, a man that was a priest. He was a man of God. He did wrong things like everybody else did. But it was his responsibility to do things that were difficult. Solomon was teachable. He was allowing God to control his life. But Solomon was willing to do difficult things in order to please God. King David said, do these things for me. And he was supposed to do them. Solomon was supposed to kill his brother Adonijah for his treason, and he did. For other reasons. But Solomon had to remove the former priest from having any influence. He had to do that in verses 26 and 27. He had to kill Joab for murdering innocent men. Before Solomon could ever reign properly and set his direction, he must remove the sinful influences from his life. Before we can do anything for God, we must surrender our sinful or bad influences from our life. Put things out of your life and out of your way that are going to hinder you. Those people were doing him wrong and trying to hinder his throne and hinder his reign. The New Testament, Hebrews 12, says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God says, if you want to do God's will for your life, if you want to accomplish something great for me, if you want to be used, it requires you to do something difficult. The sins and the weights, things that may not be sinful, but they weigh you down, they slow you down. Friends, relationships, hobbies, habits, things that you enjoy doing, but they hinder you from walking with God. God says, get those things out of your life. If they prevent you from being used of God, God says, get rid of them. They're not worth it. I remember I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was 15 years old. And almost every friend I had as a 15-year-old, a freshman in high school, different here, I know. When I was 15 years old, almost every friend I had to get rid of. Every single one of them. Most of them drank, they partied, they did other things. Thankfully, I had a mom and dad that cared enough about me not to allow me to be a part of those things. But they're still my friends. It was difficult to have a good testimony. It was difficult to just leave them. But God blessed, and God gave me much greater friends and made it a whole lot easier to serve God when I got rid of those weights that so easily beset me. Sometimes, if you want to please God, you may have to do something difficult. You will have to do something difficult. But God will bless, and God will give grace, and God will make it not so difficult. Solomon recognized that. He had to get some things out of his way. In verses 36 through 46, it says, and the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, build thee an house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. For it shall be that on the day thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die, thy blood shall be upon thine own head. Shimei was one of the people that Solomon was supposed to take care of. Solomon says, Shimei, don't leave town. You're on house arrest. If you go somewhere, I give my word, you'll be put to death. A couple years later, Shimei decided, I'm going to do what I want to do. And he left town. Solomon gave his word before him, before Shimei and before God. Solomon gave his word that if he left town, he would take care of it. He would do what his dad said, and he would kill Shimei if Shimei left town. Shimei did leave town. Shimei decided it was worth it. Solomon simply decided, I'm going to keep my word. There's other things involved, but Solomon decided, I said I'm going to do this. God wants me to keep my word. I'm going to keep my word. Solomon, lastly, he valued his commitments to the Lord. He valued his commitments to the Lord. God, listen to me, God wants to do something in your heart this week if you will allow Him to. But it's up to you. Some of you have already decided before you arrived you're not going to allow God to speak to your heart. You've already decided that God will not do anything with you, or maybe you just couldn't care less. You're not teachable. You're hardening your neck. God wants to deal with you. God wants, if you're not saved, God wants you to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. If you are saved, God wants you to make decisions this week that will change your life and set the direction of your life, so you can do something great for God, for yourself, so that you can please the God that made you. The God that sent His Son to die in your place. The Lord Jesus Christ, He loves you. He gave Himself for you. And if you're saved, He has a plan for your life. Why on earth are you fighting Him? You're going to fight and you're going to struggle all of your life until you get that thing right. Why on earth are you fighting the Lord? Solomon, he allowed himself to be teachable. He allowed difficult things to be put out of his life. He allowed himself to do what was difficult. He allowed God to control his life. And he decided, if I make a commitment to God, I'll keep it. This week you'll make commitments, I hope. We've been praying. I know the others have been praying that you would. You'll make it a commitment. Trust Christ as your Savior. You'll trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior this week. I hope some of you will. Some of you will decide that you're going to give the Lord your life. You'll surrender everything you have over to God. Keep that commitment. Some of you will decide you'll give up a friend. You'll give up a hobby, a video game that you're playing, something like that. You'll make some very clear commitments to the Lord. I remember when I was a teenager, we'd come home from camp every year, and I was saved at 15 at a youth camp, just like this. And I remember teenagers in my church coming and standing before the church, and they said, I made this decision. I decided not to do this anymore. I decided not to listen to that anymore. I decided not to watch that. I decided not to wear that. They said, keep me accountable, and those commitments are long past gone. They didn't keep their commitments to the Lord. I wonder if it was right then, if it's still right today. The Bible's not changed. They didn't keep their commitments to the Lord, and they're still accountable to that. I'd hate to stand before God with that. Some of you this week will make commitments that you've made last year. We'll remake the commitments and make some other ones and decide you're going to please the Lord with God's help. What made Solomon useful? It wasn't just the fact that he got wisdom. He was humble enough to get wisdom. He was humble enough to be used of God. We need that. Father, would you help us to be teachable? Would you help us to be usable? And God, would you help us to have the attitude and the heart where we want you to speak to our hearts, where we want you to convict us of sin, where we want you to change our lives? And God, I pray that there's not a young man or young woman that's unwilling to allow you to speak to their hearts. God, would you please work in hearts tonight, or this afternoon? Would you work in hearts this week? Help commitments to be made that will be lifelong and have eternal rewards. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.